Hello and welcome to my latest match pod review for www.mufcglobal.co.uk. We want Glazers out, say we want Glazers out. Manchester United have been back in action against Brentford in a huge match tonight for them, and a huge victory by 2-1. I'll go into sort of a few details of the game, but a massive victory that basically puts them on the precipice of the Champions League. They can finish it off, as I mentioned in the last part, they can finish it off against Liverpool. It may already have happened before they even set on the pitch against Liverpool. The team news for today, Maguire came back in, and sort of mentioned that we'd be surprised to see him come back in. And then Heaven, he started the game, deservedly so, after his performance against Chelsea. It was Luke Shaw and Dalot as the fullbacks. Midfield three of Casemiro and Mane, who's the two in midfield, with Bruno Fernandes further forward. And an issue with Cunha, a bit of a groin injury apparently he picked up against Chelsea. So he didn't start to Ahmad. And Bruno either side of Sesko. One thing that was very different from the game against Leeds is that United actually started strongly. They started off with a lot of energy, pushing forward. Ahmad should really have scored a goal in the first couple of minutes. A great run from Kobbie Mainoo into the box. He should really be scoring. It was actually a good clearance off the line. I've seen it back, but Ahmad had the whole goal to put in, really. And you've got to try and place that into the back of the net. Then a save from Kelleher, from a Harry Maguire header from across. I think it was Bruno Fernandes who put the ball in. And United were really pushing Brentford back. They'd obviously had the rocket up them after the shocking start against Leeds. To really have a go and to put them under pressure. And that pressure did pay off with a Casemiro goal from a corner to the back post. Maguire headed it to the back from the far post to the front post, and Casemiro was there to head it into the back of the net, and to give United an early and deserved lead. I think it was just over 10 minutes. We have the standard song that we get now, which, as I say, I think he's just sung because it's easy to sing. One more year, Casemiro. There's a reason why the club are not activating that 1 year extension, because they don't want to pay him £350,000 a week, which is part of the problem that they have at the football club. Players who play nowhere near consistently their wage. And as I say, Casemiro's had a decent season this season, but has he had a £350,000 a week season? That's the question. That's the sensible decision that's been made not to continue that. So we can sing that all we want, but it's ridiculous, and there's no point in singing it because we know he is leaving at the end of the season. And anyone who has any ideas of adding that on, please do not. Although I think it's probably all set in stone, and he'll know exactly where he's going after the World Cup. So at that point, I'm at the game. I'm thinking to myself, right, can we push on? Can we get a couple more goals, at least one more goal, to basically show that we got, you know, dominance and really push Brentford back? That didn't happen. Brentford got themselves into the game, and then for about 15, 20 minutes, they controlled the game. They had a lot more of the ball. They were passing the ball really well. They were getting into good positions. Coyote had a first of all, there was a cross into Igor Tiago, get mixed up with one of Spurs' managers this season. Igor Tiago, which Luke Shaw, I think, was there to try and clear the ball, but he never cleared it, and Tiago didn't really get himself into position to score. I mean, I was thinking to myself, did he just completely miss that? But I think both him and Luke Shaw missed it. Coyote was put in. Great save from Le Mans. Tudor was put through again. But he probably should have hit it first time, but he tried to get it onto his left foot, slipped, and United managed to clear. And then this was an even simpler ball over the top. He got the run on Aidan Heaven, but fair play to Heaven, he got back. Lemenz had to make the save to stop it being an own goal. And then another opportunity for Thiago, a cross in, and then it was Thiago, I think it was Heaven and Harry Maguire, But it came off heaven in a brilliant save from Le Mans to save the equaliser. And then against the run of play at the time, Brentford were pushing forward. Amad got in a great challenge. Bruno Fernandes broke clear. He had a couple of choices. He had Mbeumo to his right, Sesko's to his left, passed it through to Sesko. He cut inside his friend and then just smashed it into the back of the net. United 2-0 up going into half time. And, you know, it was basically United taking their opportunities. If you take your opportunities when they come, because Brentford didn't deserve to be 2 goals down at that stage. But they were, because United had taken their opportunities. And then into half time, you sort of think to yourself, if we can get a third goal, just finish this game off. But let's be perfectly honest, nobody really expected that from Manchester United. They don't do things easily. And sort of in the second half, it was cagey. It wasn't the first half was there was a lot of I mean this basketball stuff, but it was both teams going at each other in that first half. And this kind of was a bit more cagey. United had to make a sub at half time. Mazraoui did come on for Adam, assuming he's injured, like a little bit of a limp at the end of the game. And that's kind of quite cagey. Wasn't too many shots on goal for first sort of. The first half of the second half, really. I mean, United didn't care, I think, at all in that second half. There wasn't much they were doing. But what they were doing, they were managing the game well. They were stopping Brentford from actually having the opportunities that they're creating in the first half. There was one opportunity at the far post, who had an opportunity for a shot, but he didn't quite catch it. And that one, and there wasn't really much going. And you sort of thinking to yourself, getting into the last 10 minutes, I was thinking to myself, you know, 2-0, but if Brentford get a goal, and at this point Brentford had had about 10 minutes or so of keeping the ball well, pushing United back. United weren't doing anything really going forward. They made some substitutions. Yoro would come on for Luke Shaw. The Leicester spot of Mason Mount, he came on for Brian Mbeumo. But then, sort of, you're going in the last 10 minutes, and then all that was going through my mind was the Fulham game. I mean, I would have loved it ending like the Fulham game, because it would have meant United had won, but I didn't want to go to 2-2. But Brentford were probing, and then Jensen, who'd had a shot in the first half that just killed wide. I don't think the men's would have got to it from it was right in at the Stretford end where, you know, the goal I'm stood behind. But he did a little bit of a feint, got some space and drilled the ball superbly into the back of the net. It was a great strike with 3 minutes to go, and you're just thinking to yourself, are United going to throw this away? I mean, I say throw it away. I think sort of, if you look at the game as a whole, I think Brentford can feel slightly aggrieved that they didn't get a point, but you have to be clinical in this way. And then sort of you're thinking to yourself, are United going to do like what they did against Fulham? I mean, what they nearly did against Brighton, give away a goal late on to lose points, although obviously against Fulham. Sesko came up with the goods in that match. But there was one opportunity, a great cross in, a flick header. But thankfully, it went straight to Le Mans. There were a couple of corners and some throw-ins. Coyote with his throw-ins. But United managed to see that off and got in it. As I say, Michael Carrick's talked about it. It's a huge, huge 3 points, because basically it puts them in a position where only Brighton can go above them from any side outside the top five, because it's the top five that the English clubs get this season. And it's a massive result. And for Manchester United, getting in the Champions League, just financially, that's the main thing financially, because unfortunately the standards are low at United. They're going up the stairs when I was leaving the ground, there was a song, Champions League, Man United. I mean, the standard level at this club is an absolute joke. That's what you get when you have scum parasite owners who just want to drain money out of the football club and actually not looking towards the future. In regards of actually building a strong foundation of a football club that's going to be challenging for the biggest of prizes and also challenging for other trophies. And as I say, we're talking to my friend's sons before the game about United that next season they'll be playing at least 48 games, whereas this season they played the minimum they could ever play which it would in 40 games. So they'll probably play in 50 plus games next season, you hope, because fingers crossed. You have to think, I mean, United's thought process, if they get to the Champions League, I mean, they basically just need 2 points. They need 2 points from the rest of their games. As I say, they can do it against Liverpool, but they actually could already be there if Newcastle beat Brighton on Saturday. But I did say at the end of the last pod, beat Brentford, then you go into that Liverpool game with that carrot to beat one of your biggest rivals, and also to qualify for the Champions League, and the planning could start then for next season, basically. Although some of the planning should have been done already about targets, but you can really get into the weeds and look at who you can now actually make the bids for, what the bids prices are going to bid, because they'll know their finances. In that regard, and obviously the question is of who's going to be the manager. As I say, you could argue that second half. I mean, I don't think the Brentford goalkeeper touched a ball in the last 10 minutes of the game, and he definitely didn't have any saves to make in about the last sort of 20-25 minutes of the game. So is that the kind of football that's going to be played under Michael Carrick, trying to just hold on? I mean, he has got a means to an end. In regards of getting to the Champions League, does he get the job? As I say, that could be in his contract. That could be in his contract that we don't know about. But you've also got to look at the other opportunities. But as I mentioned before, this is the Jason Wilcox regime. He has to get this decision right. And if he doesn't get this decision right, it is on him. He is the person that decided that he was going to make this decision. He brought Michael Carrick in. Michael Carrick's done a good job. But remember, there is gaslighting. Because let's be perfectly honest, if it wasn't Michael Carrick, who is a legend of this football club as a player, fans would not be thinking, oh, let's keep this manager, when you look at the other options that are out there for people. As I say, I have spoken about Iraola. I would argue that with far less resources and less quality of players, I know it's a different type of sort of job. He's done the job that he's done at Bournemouth is better than the job that Michael Carrick's done at Manchester United. But it's about making that decision. Michael Carrick is incumbent. He is doing the job. And when you're doing the job, that gives the person who's making the decision, well, the evidence is there, but he will have to learn very quickly, because let me tell you this now, he can get the praise if it happens this season, but the start of next season, he has to get results straight from the off. He'll be put under massive pressure. And as I say, we're looking at where Spurs are this season. Look at where United and Spurs were at the end of last season. It wouldn't be a surprise if a big team was down the bottom. And you look at a team like Newcastle, who got into the Champions League this season, but has struggled in the league. And arguably, if everybody kept winning their matches and Newcastle didn't win their games, I think there's a possibility they could possibly go down. But I think what you'll probably find is Newcastle just need that one win. And when you just need that one win or 1 point, they'll probably get that. So whilst I'm not necessarily counting any chickens as we stand, United are in that position now where, as I say, I've always said it, you might look and you think to yourself, you might necessarily not want a team to necessarily win something, or you'll be wanting another team to win. Thing is, the best way to do that is to do it yourself. Beat them, get the results, and make sure everything is in your hands. And it is very much in Manchester United's hands. And I mean, as I say, you could easily argue that Brighton won't get the points anyway, but you can't rely on that. You've got to do it yourself. And the perfect way to do it would be to be beating Liverpool at home on Sunday, game I will be at. As I say, it'll be, you know, even better if Newcastle do stop Brighton from winning and United go into that already qualified for the Champions League. Our job's still to beat Liverpool, because that should be in doctrine, and they can't be putting in a performance like they did against Leeds, and they'll have to put in probably a better performance than they did tonight against Brentford, because if Liverpool have the opportunities that Brentford had tonight, you're probably thinking they're going to take those opportunities. So work still to be done. So As always, thanks for listening. All pods up at www.mufcglobal.co.uk or on various podcast platforms such as Spotify, Podbean, Listen Notes, PCAST, Podchaser. Search MUFC Global and it will come up. So, nearly there and nearly a time for Manchester United to reset and to make sure that the decisions they are making for the betterment of the football club are sensible decisions and they're actually doing their due diligence. As I've mentioned before on this pod, minimum three midfielders are needed in the summer. Probably, I don't think a centre back's going to come in now. Probably, maybe a right back might be needed, possibly. There's talk about a left winger, and I think that is a possibility. I mean, the scary thing is we might be getting Marcus Rashford back because Barcelona are taking the mick, basically. I want to take him on another year loan, which just says everything about how they've massively got the best of that deal. But there's not the obligation like there is with Rasmus Højlund deal. There's an obligation for Napoli to buy him if they get into the Champions League. I don't know why United didn't set an obligation. Because as I say, I don't think Barcelona want to pay the wages because there's no way they can't afford him at 26 million, which is probably under market value. But it'll be interesting to see what United do and if they manage to actually play hardball, if they've got negotiators that can actually say to people, right, we're going to call you bluff, do one, basically. And as I say, if Michael Carrick does get the job, let's not pay him £6-7 million a year. Let him have a bonus for getting in the Champions League and then pay him a reasonable amount. And if he doesn't like it, get some other options. Because you've got to look at CVs, look at what people have done as well. And as I say, if Michael Carrick gets the Champions League, gets the job, well, as I say, Ollie was paid £5-6 million, so his agents will be looking for the same. That's the problem we've got. But it's a different regime this time, the Jason Wilcox regime, so we'll see how he deals with that. So as I say, as always, thanks for listening. And we'll be back after the Liverpool game on Sunday, and we're hoping to have Dennis back. He'll be supporting Liverpool that day. We're hoping to have Dennis with his thoughts and, maybe I'll be going in with saying we're already qualified for the Champions League or beating Liverpool will put us in the Champions League. Just beating Liverpool will be enough for me. So, as always, thanks for listening and we'll be back after the Liverpool game on Sunday.